Bench Boost Boys Game Week 38 report. There can only be one.
No, I said there can be only one.
Oh, should we go again?
Nah. Let's just keep going, because...
Well, it just means the same thing, you poetic div kid.
Nah, because it's a Highlander quote, and it's important that we recognise tonight's sponsor, and that's Highlander, the original 1984 movie.
Okay.
Go and see it in cinemas 30 years ago. 40 years ago. How old is that film?
No. Oh, shit. Nearly 40 years. That's not what we're here to talk about. I'm Gav. You're Scott. This is Bench Boost Boys. How are you, Scott?
Good, thanks, mate. No, this week's sponsor is actually Rafe from... It's 1986 film, Highlander.
That was embarrassing if you got that wrong.
Yeah, Rafe. This podcast is for you, mate. Well done on all things that you've done this week.
Speaking of things done this week, the season is a wrap.
It is a wrap. A wrap is a past tense.
Obviously, we spoke in last week's episode quite a bit about the fact that by some kind of weird chance, we were going into the final game week with a point between you and I. I was 1 point ahead of you.
That's the real competition, but we also ran ourselves a mini league, and it's really important that we do actually give a shout out to the overall winner of the Bench Boost Boys League, Stefan De Jong and his team, This Will Do, who finished with a top, with a score of 2,522.
Won it by a country mile.
Yeah, overall rank of around 3,500.
Like, well fucking done.
Oh, better than us.
So,
maybe he should host this podcast. Yeah. No, don't you have a soundbite for this?
Not one prepared.
Well done, Stefan De Jong. You've won absolutely nothing, but I guess a little bit of pride.
Yeah, it should take an immense amount of pride coming top of the almighty Bench Boost Boys League. Our little rivalry, we'll get to that quite quickly because it's a shorter podcast this week.
It is, but it's
because we don't have to talk about what happens next week.
Yeah, but we're setting our... Well, we all talk about what's happening next week right now, and that's that we're going to do
Game Week 39.
Retrospective
a wetsuit perspective
on things we learned this season. And look, I learned a lot, so it's going to be at least a medium-sized podcast. I learned more about FPL than I learned about anything else.
And it's, we certainly learned more about FPL than the cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
sorry,
that makes me feel sick. No, this season was all about learning, and it'll be awesome to take some of what we learned into next season, try and apply some of the things we've learned.
Yep.
You know, I've got some regrets. I'm sure you've got some regrets to do with FPL.
And other things.
Yeah, and yeah, it'll be nice to look back and go, you know what, I'm not going to do that again, and then do it all again.
You can't make me, you're not my real dad. But yes, so slightly shorter episode this week because we have no game week to preview. We will literally review our game week 38, offer our thoughts specifically around how that last game week went. We will obviously discuss who came out top between you and I. And then we're going to see out the show with a favourite of ours, at Randy Shafter on Twitter, who has basically written a poem.
FPL royalty, I'd call him.
Yeah, me too at this point. He's been the highlight of my FPL season.
Yeah, one of mine easily. One thing I'll say before we cut to a soundbite, I love soundbites, is follow us at Bench Boost Boys on Twitter. I'd love to see a little bit more engagement from the community next season on the pod.
We'll try harder too, you know.
Yeah, we'll put a little bit more effort in. Yeah.
It's big boy time.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, it'd be nice to get some guests on the pod next season from within the community.
Yeah, I like that.
There's quite a few of you that have reached out to us over the course of the season, and we're engaging with you now on Twitter. Probably should have done a lot more of it while we're actually shooting the pod, but I think this season for us was, truthfully...
It was bedding in, wasn't it?
Getting the pod right, yeah.
Yeah, it was bedding in. We haven't pushed the podcast too hard. If you are a regular listener, thanks, by the way.
Thanks, Mum.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, you're right. It was a bedding in situation, getting our feet, you know, literally under this table we sat at. But yeah, I think you're onto something there, Scott. More engagement with the community. And on that touching thought, let's break into our Game Week 38 performance, sponsored by Rafe. Bench Boss Boys. So, Game Week 38.
I didn't get that. You know what?
Yeah, go on.
I'll let you go first this week.
Oh.
Is that nice or what?
Do you know the funny thing is, I don't want to kind of like be too melodramatic about it because no one's going to be more enthused about this situation than you or I. Mm. Yeah, we got a couple of mates here and there who were keen to see how it ended. A lot of them wanted you to fail badly.
Yeah, that was a bit
strong.
Almost bullying. I felt targeted.
Matt Target.
Mm.
How do I approach this? Do I just launch straight into how it ended or shall I build up to it?
You just tell us what happened with you and then okay. I'll do that part.
We'll let the listener put the bits of the jigsaw together. It's an interactive podcast. We're taking a leaf out of a sort of true crime podcast. Okay, so the game week average was 49 points. I got 51 points.
It's not bad. It's above average.
It is above average. Not great. So last week I said my transfer was going to be DCL out and Antonio in. I did that. I also said that because we were so close in a couple of mini leagues, obviously including Bench Boost Boys, I wasn't keen on taking points hits. I was a bit precious about that. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, folks. The Antonio transfer, I will say it didn't pay off. I wouldn't have done any better by having DCL in my team, but in hindsight, could have done something different. So I'll tell you what I did do. I went with Mendy in goal, got me a point, played 45 minutes. Thanks, Tuchel.
No, what was that? Was that like, let's give all the kids a run? Like,
I assume so. But why would you fucking do that? And Chelsea needed to win, didn't they?
Yeah, they've got a cup
final.
Because they didn't win, and they've still made the top four.
They have, but they got a cup final.
But I mean, you're not resting Mendy for that cup final, are you? It's almost like a...
You don't usually rest a keeper. No. Maybe you just went to give someone minutes.
No disrespect to goalkeepers. Obviously, Alisson works hard. He goes, he's up there scoring goals. But then they stand around for half the game. You didn't need to do that.
Alexander Arnold. Do they even sweat?
I'm sorry, you continue.
Do they even sweat? Maybe. Does Prince Andrew sweat? Alexander Arnold, 5 points. I had him on as vice captain, I think, last week's podcast. In fact, I know I had the armband on him. I was going to captain him.
That's a good shout you didn't, because you made way more points captaining the other
fuck
bloke.
Off. Alexander Arnold, 5 points. Creswell, 6 points. Dallas, 2. It was a shame that Leeds didn't get that clean sheet. Obviously, would have helped me.
I don't know. Because I had Dallas, 2. Wouldn't have helped you. I mean, it would have helped your overall rank if you're competing against... You weren't competing against other people.
No, I was competing against you.
Competing against me.
Dinier, 0 points. Everton got fucking smashed.
5-0 by Messi.
He was actually an auto sub, by the way, because I did stick Fernandes in the team just to see. Fernandes did not play, so Dinier auto subbed in. Midfield, I had Son on 5 points, Harrison 5, Lingard on 3. Pretty consistent there. I got 5-6, 5-5. Like, those are not bad, but my captain pick was Patrick Bamford. So he got 6 points, and that turned into 12. Antonio, 2 points. Kane, 10. So, you know, in hindsight, I guess I should have or could have captained Kane, and that would have got me 20 points.
Hindsight's great, but playing against Leicester wasn't going to be an easy match. Turns out Spurs, you know, beat them pretty convincingly, 4-2, but...
So my fear that I talked on, I talked about it last week and the week before actually, was the fact that you had Salah. I couldn't find a clear way to get him into my team without taking stupid points hits. So I felt somewhat strongly that what might differentiate you and I was Salah. So do you want to tell us about your game week?
I do. I will. I am. Like you said, game week average was 49. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I got 69 points. I was one behind you leading into the game week. So, did finish ahead of you at the end on overall points, 2,291. Thank you very much. But for me, the players, we have a pretty easy way to measure success as far as we're concerned. Mm. And that's a point score of 5 or more.
A return of 5 is... you know, satisfactory.
And very rarely do I get more greens than reds on the old spreadsheet, but I did this week, and the ones that let me down, Martinez, Stuart Dallas, Lingard, and Iheanacho, big names. Probably Martinez, one of the best goalkeepers of the season for FBL. Dallas, easily the best defender, as far as I'm concerned, for FPL, as far as, you know, as far as points per point. Stuart Dallas started off, what, 5 million or?
It was pretty 4.5
million.
A lot of those Leeds guys were, right? Yeah.
Lingard was great all season. Great from the start of this year. And Ian Archer, again, great from the start of this year. After Madison and Barnes both got injured, he came in and just, you know,
took over.
Lit the Premier League up. You know, for those four players to be the ones that blank for me, you know, I can't be upset about that. The ones that did well, Matty Target, now he was an auto sub. I did start with, I think it was Luke Shaw on the
right.
In the song. He didn't get to play. Now, I had a feeling, and we talked about this last week. We thought Talles might play ahead of him, and we were right.
Lots of resting for the Europa League.
Yeah, I had one transfer, and that was Bruno Fernandes out. Mm. And I made that transfer thinking, you know, with the Europa League final, what are the chances they'll play him? Didn't want to roll the dice on that. And it was, in hindsight, a really good decision because I bought Sadio Mane in. Now, he was my highest point scorer on 16 points with two goals and three bonus points. So really happy. Netted out at 16 on that transfer. Ruben Dias scored 5 as well. Rafinha, 5. He got an assist. He played well for Leeds, but Leeds just, you know, they were all over West Brom.
Yeah.
You know, I think Robson Kanu scored a pretty late lucky goal off a Calvin Phillips fuck up, but so Rafinha with the assist there. Captain Salah. Now, obviously hindsight, I would have captained Mane, but that, you know, Salah got the assist for the second goal for Mane, so turned 6 into 12 there. So the same as you for the captain, really.
Yeah.
But I also had Bamford, so he scored me 6, and I had Kane as well for 10. So all up 69 points. Didn't take any points hits. Game week rank of 500,000 and finished the season with an overall rank of 401,000. So didn't quite make the top 100K like I hadn't planned to make it as well as I'd done here at the start of the season. I actually had a points goal for myself of scoring over 2,000. Mm. And I thought, 2,000 would be great. You know, that's averaging X amount of points per game. Pretty quickly realized I was going to make it well over that. It was a generally high-scoring season of FPL.
Yeah, seems that way.
Not sure really what contributed to that. So I'm sure someone on Twitter is going to do an assessment of why that happened.
Mm.
Maybe people are getting smarter. Maybe players are getting more predictable and better. Maybe the double and the triple up of games had something to do with
maybe.
That sort of stuff.
You imagine if there are people who are playing like triple captains and bench boosts during some of those double and triple game weeks.
Yeah, and if you can time your transfers well, you're going to maximise points every single week. So I'm sure that played something into it. But, you know, overall points of 2,291, just 9 points shy of 2,300. So, 291 over what I originally set out to accomplish. So pretty happy with that. Hopefully next season a little bit better, but...
Well, yeah. I know I was probably being quite conservative at the start of the season. My only goal was to get in the top million, and I finished off at 480,000. So I knew I'd had a poor game week. I was just hoping I'd still finish under 500,000, and I did. And given, you know, I know there'll be, I mean, I see it on the FPL community on Twitter, and I know there'll potentially, hopefully, be people listening to this podcast who perhaps are performing a lot higher, but, you know, we've made no secret of the fact that this is actually the first season that you and I have taken this seriously.
Yeah, and we took it so seriously, we started a podcast.
Exactly. That was the birth of the podcast, right? So it was an opportunity for us to go, well, why don't we actually study this? There's obviously more to this than meets the eye.
You know, the birth of the podcast, I don't know if you remember back, if you listen back to the old episodes, whatever, it was actually us coming to that realization that we spend way too much time at work talking about
wasting
football.
Time talking about
so
football.
Yeah. We thought, we need to set aside some time, maybe an hour every Tuesday night, to discuss this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So well done on winning our little duel.
Thank you.
So some of the interesting points around that. I talked about how Salah was likely the differentiator. Not really. I mean, he had an okay game week, but it wasn't this, oh no, informed Salah's going to score a hat-trick and blow me out the water. Didn't quite work out that way. Largely Mane, because there would have been other game weeks. Whilst my total point score wasn't brilliant, It's a funny old game, because there's been game weeks where we've had, you know, when we talk about reds and greens, as we've talked about, it's five and above. Conditional formatting on our lovely spreadsheet makes it green. So there's been weeks where we've had shitloads of reds, but then a couple of really high point scores, including captain's picks, and we've just smashed it. I'm actually in a situation this week where I've got nearly all across the board greens. Lots of consistent 5 and 6 pointers. Wasn't a good captain pick, and I didn't have anybody who, you know, I think you'd probably rather be in a situation where half your team gets 3 points, but two guys get 20. Whereas I've just got a whole bunch of guys on 5 and 6, not a good captain pick, and just falling a bit flat. But yes, point being.
Yeah, I mean, the only other player in your starting 11 that you could have started to get more points from your captaincy pick would have been Harry Kane. But otherwise, a great captaincy pick. You know, and I had one player above Salah, two players above Salah, so that was Mane and Kane. And so I'm not going to look back at that and go, oh, I made a mistake in picking that captain. I'm still measuring it by the 5 is successful, even for a captain. You know, if you can get your captain in double digits, then you've done well.
Yeah, I think you've touched on something there as well, and I've definitely been guilty of this some points this season. Beating yourself up in hindsight, like, oh, I should have done this, I could have done that. Well, actually, if you're realistic, you look at your team, and I can look at some of my selections this season and think, I'd have picked the same team 99 times out of 100 because that was solid. That's half of the beauty of FPL. And that's where I don't think you learn much from going, oh, I should have captained Harry Kane, I should have done that. You need to put it into different terms, not just I should have because he did get those points, because on another week, the guy you chose would have got the points. I think it's more important to look at it and go, well, is there a particular reason why my captain pick didn't work out? Is there a trend here? We've talked on and off throughout the season, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in a bit more detail in next week's retrospective about form over fixture and what that means. So those are the learning things, and I think we'll get to that next week.
And just on form versus fixture, it's worth pointing out too that obviously Stefan de Jong, winner of the Bench Boost Boys League, he also was the top goal scorer in the last week. And his highest scoring player was actually Pepe, who was an informed player going into the game week.
A lot of people would have completely ignored Pepe.
Yeah, absolutely. We did. I don't even know that we even touched on him last week. We may have.
So there's one thing I'm probably a little guilty of as well, is writing off an entire team.
Yeah.
Arsenal was one.
No, I do that the same. You know, I knew Matias Pereira was a good player at the start of the season. I had him for a long time. But after writing off West Brom, I thought I'm never bringing a player like that back
into my team. It's a blanket statement, isn't it? And I've done it the other way as well. Man City, that fear of, we never know who's going to pick. I'll tell you what, there's probably something to be said for anybody who just left Mahrez in their team for the entire season. I'm sure that worked out perfectly well.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the, we'll do our own FPL team of the season. Mm. And it's no surprise it'll probably be quite close to a lot of the...
the numbers.
The real podcasts and things like that. There's no showing away because it is consistency in FPL for players means you're going to stand out for all it. FPL managers. So, one example, Stuart Dallas, he's going to be in everybody's FPL team of the season just purely because of his cost at the start of the season and his performance.
He's also got that beautiful thing of it's always fucking awesome to have a player registered in FPL as a defender but perform as a midfielder.
Yeah.
Particularly one who actually scores or creates.
Yeah, and that's one example. We'll go into all of that in next week's episode, the retrospective, but... it's one of those things where, I forgot what we were talking about.
It's FPL, mate. It's Bench Boost Boys.
Look,
it's
Bench Boost Boys.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's back in the room.
So, yeah, Stefan de Jong, great final team. Pepe, Kane, Bamford, Salah, Rafinha. He didn't have any players blank except Lingard and Antonio. So looking at that level of consistency throughout your team throughout the season, it's absolutely no wonder he's finished with an overall rank of 3,700. You know, it's just an effort to keep up with those kind of to select Pepe in that final round. Hats off those kind of ballsy moves.
And my final comment on that before obviously next week we'll have a bit more of a deep dive is just. Yeah, the learning is, I think, and obviously I'm clearly no expert, is a mindset thing. So it's not going, I should have done this. It's going, why didn't I? And what would it have looked like if I did? Like a more analytical approach where I'm just beat yourself up and go, oh my God, I totally should have captained that guy. Because sometimes you could catch yourself and you can go, would I really have put Pepe in my team? I wouldn't have. But then also there's a secondary part of learning there where you go, well, why wouldn't I? Let's now look at the facts. And as you've just pointed out, well, actually, he was in form. So maybe I should have taken that seriously. But yeah, looking forward to going into a bit of that, talking about our learnings, things we've done. Like, as one little teaser as well, I before the final game week, I set myself up a lonely one-team mini-league, and I asked for it to start from game week 19. I just wanted to understand how many points I got just for the second half of the season. Obviously, you can go back and calculate that stuff manually, but Mini League will do it for you too. Right off the bat, I scored way more points in the second half of the season than the first. And I'm sure there's some good reasons for that, and we'll talk about that next week. But yeah, it's been an interesting season.
Yeah, and we may touch on this a little bit more in the final episode of the season, but we should give a quick shout out to two players.
Yeah,
Michael Kuhn, who won the overall.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah, and from what I've read on Twitter, you know, I don't think we've had any interactions with him ourselves, but an all round stand up guy, Irish bloke, Teddy Bears United, finished on 2,680 points, which was the highest points total of all time, which is an amazing effort. And I want to give a shout out to Ola. And I think everyone in the FPL community knows that name.
But everyone was so behind him, weren't they? It was nice.
He finished in 10th spot, which is an amazing achievement in itself. But the fact that he held that top spot, number one spot, for so many game weeks, you know, I think by game week, what was it? Game week 10, he was ranked number one, and he held that position up until game week 32, where he dropped down to second place for a hot minute, and then he was back in number one position for a while before finally losing out, lost a bit of steam. Maybe he was Leeds United last season. But, yeah, a great effort from Ola. And, you know, yeah, I just think it's worth giving those guys a shout-out.
100%. Actually, I thought it was a nice touch that FPL themselves on the app, when they congratulated the winner, Teddy Bears United, they did make a point to mention him because he was top for a lot of the season. And I thought that was a nice touch. They didn't have to do that. The prizes are pretty good as well, by the way. Did you see them?
Yeah.
Pretty tasty prizes. So I hope, COVID permitting.
Not as good as 10,000 Shiba Inu coins.
Which doesn't exist. Okay, well, that was a good wrap-up of Game Week 38. Congrats on winning our little duel, mate. That was quite good. It was not planned at all that we go into the final game week a point apart. So that was slightly tense and also a lot of fun. Congrats again to the winner of the Bench Boost Boys mini-league.
Yeah. One thing I'm looking forward to next week, by the way, and thanks for saying all that, but one thing I'm looking forward to next week in the retrospective is we will know the three teams moving up into the Premier League by next week. Obviously, Brentford is still playing Swansea. I'm excited to maybe delve into
their players?
Yeah, into some of the high performance from the top three teams in the Championship. We will obviously take a break in the off-season. I think you and I will do a personal little battle on Euro.
Yeah, the Euro Fantasy.
On the Euro Fantasy. We're not potting about that. Don't worry, guys. We won't put you through that. But we will get into a couple of weeks before the season starts, into a couple of episodes.
Some previews.
Previews and things like that. And we'll obviously touch on some of the players that are signed for the new clubs, coming into the Premier League, some of the players signed into the existing clubs within the Premier League, some of the changes.
I'm pretty excited about that.
But next week, it'd be great to, we'll have a little bit of a cheeky look at some of those players that might be coming in.
Oh, you know what? We'll start building a proto watch list. So we can just sort of start building that watch list.
Who's on your watch list next week? We'll do that. Can't wait. Let's take a break now, and then we'll finish up with...
Yeah, it's Randy Shafter's poem titled Season Review and Ode to Shit. We'll be back for that. Bench Boost Boys.
And we're back. I don't get to do this very often, but you're about to read out a poem. So I thought I might just do some speaking first because you're going to spend the next minute and a half, 2 minutes. Ooh, I just banged my mic. going through, like you said, Randy Shafter's poem. What did you say the title was?
The title of the poem is Season Review, An Ode to Shit.
And there's a solid reason we're reading this out. We actually are massive fans of Randy's on the podcast.
It's not the first time we've done this.
No, it's not. So, Randy, I hope you don't mind that we're sharing this. Copyright, it's all Randy's, it's not us.
Yeah, at Randy Shafter on Twitter. And yeah, about, oh Christ, quite a while ago, halfway through the season, I think around the time at least when I first became aware of him, I realised that here was this hilarious, extremely angry guy who would rant about the poor performance of the players he'd selected. And it was very funny. And, I read out a series of tweets he wrote after one particularly abysmal game week that was fucking hilarious.
You know what? Just reading his poem, it doesn't sound like it was an abysmal game week. It sounds like it was a pretty standard game week. But that's all the clue I'm going to give you as to the content of this poem. All right. Listeners, enjoy.
Season Review. An ode to shit. What a fucking season. Where to begin? Abysmal and tragic. Get in the bin. Random postponements. Rotation rife. FPO as usual has ruined my life. All that work, planning and time I've invested, was it all worth it for the shit I've ingested? Blood, sweat and tears. Piss, shit and wank. I have nothing, fucking nothing, left in the tank. So many tormentors, too many to name, but one in particular saw my arse and took aim. John Stones, what a twat. He led from the front, delivering pain, a stratospheric super cunt. My captaincy halls few and far between, my defenders conceding a depressing routine. Points on my bench, a too frequent event, red arrows aplenty, my rank in descent. My transfer history, a right laughing stock. Always swapping one knob for some other cock. On three separate occasions I bought DCL. Disappointment each time. A wank carousel. My free hit was wasted. Bench boost was shit. I triple captain KDB for just 8 points. The tit. VAR and offside sucking out the enjoyment. Why the fuck is Mike Dean still in employment? Bonus points changing, save points disappearing. A Bruno assist? What's this shit I'm hearing? Fixture announcements 1 minute past deadline? They did it on purpose, the piss boiling swine. But now it's all over, and I wave goodbye. Unchained from the gutter, a tear in my eye. Free of the deadlines, the last minute panic, the relief overwhelming, the euphoria volcanic. Limping over the line, battered and bruised, a season of torment with mercy refused. Escaping the darkness, walking into the light, but I'll crawl back next year for more of this shite. Randy. And there we have it. At Randy Shafter on Twitter. What do you think of that, Scott?
You know what? There's a level of genius in this poem that is just incredible. I don't know. To rhyme enjoyment and employment and for it to make so much fucking sense. If you've followed FPL, if you've followed the Premier League,
the highs and the lows.
If you remember the change in the fixture announcements 1 minute after the kickoff or
the deadline.
If you remember all of those things happening throughout the season and the panic and the outrage that it caused on Twitter, this poem is going to mean a lot more. But ignoring all of that, if you were someone that's never played FPL, it's still fucking genius.
That encapsulates the emotional rollercoaster of FPL. Obviously, next week we will talk about some of our favourite moments, for better or worse. I mean, one that springs to mind for me is, you know, and I know I'm not alone, but I was one of those people who dumped Son when we thought he was injured. And then he played.
Oh, game week 4.
And then he scored.
Out. That's a long time ago.
He scored 4 goals.
Yeah, I remember watching that game. I remember you just saying, fuck this, I'm going to bed.
I did. Yep. And then you were like, I think he's got more in him. And you were bloody right. But yes, at Randy Shafter, please follow him on Twitter. Randy, I hope you don't mind us reading out your poem. I like the little comment at the bottom of the poem as well, where he talks about his final overall record, or rank, where a lot of people on Twitter have been talking about that. And his just says, final OR, shit. Fair enough. That's all we need to know about him. All right, Scott, any last thoughts before we clock off?
No. I mean, we've got a bit of wine left over, but run out of things to talk about. So let's just drink wine and, yeah.
Be merry.
Maybe start thinking to ourselves about what we might talk about next week in the retro, but otherwise...
Do you know what as well? Send us your thoughts. Tell us about your learnings or favourite parts of the season via Twitter, if you will, at BenchBoostBoys. The website is benchboostboys.club, where you can sign up to the newsletter we've never sent out and listen back to any old episodes, which aren't really relevant, so why would you? But you can if you want.
Weirdo.
Yeah. All right, we'll catch you next week for our Season 2021 FPL Retrospective. I hope you had a wonderful season. Good night.
Good night.